and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them was wise, and five were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Don't forget that. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go you out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, "Give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out." But the wise answered and saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, that's where my text is coming from, the last four words, "and the door was shut." And afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Now, as you realize, I know that this parable is illustrating to us, and I tried to convey it to you tonight in the latter part of the message tonight of the coming of the Lord. But as I've been studying the Word of God and what God impressed on my heart, there have been some doors that closed down through the Bible time and ages. And I was thinking about what God's trying to reveal to you and I. If you want to put it down in Genesis chapter number 7 and verse number 16, in the time of Noah, it talks about when the door of the ark was closed in Noah's day. Now I want you to understand, the people, as the Bible said, went on as usual while Noah was trying to preach and build that ark. Now, I believe it's the same thing that we have today. They ignore the message and the messenger. We try to preach and tell people the Lord is coming. I believe that. I believe Noah preached while he built that ark 120 years or more. And I know it was something strange to them. He was building a humongous boat that's never, it's never rained before from the sky. And they laughed and mocked and made fun of Noah. Said, "How are you going to float that boat?" He said, "I'm not worried about floating that boat. My job is to build it. God's job to float it." And he said, "I'm just going to do what God said." And while they mocked and made fun of him, in verse number 16, it said, "And the door was shut." But I want you to understand, and I know you've seen it, that God was on the inside of the ark. And I want you to understand, he said, "Come in." Now, he didn't tell Noah to go in because he wasn't on the outside. He was on the inside, and when he got in, and he closed the door. God closed the door. And that's significant for me, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. Now, I believe God spoke to the animal kingdom. I believe Noah didn't have to round them up. I believe God spoke to them. They went in male and female. And when Noah's family got in, I believe he shut the door. And then that was it. Now, there's a reason for that, and I want you to understand. There's only one door in the ark. And there's only one way in and one way out. And I want you to realize a door is for entry and it's for to shut you out. Now you must remember that. There's coming a time in your life, after I'll develop this message, that the door of your life, your opportunity will close and you'll have no other opportunity. But as I was looking at this and I was thinking about the door, I was reflecting back on John chapter number 10 and verse 9. And Jesus said, "I am the door." Now I want you to understand there's not many ways to heaven. There is only one door and one way to heaven. In John chapter number 14, he said, "I am the way, the life, the truth, and there is no other." And I want you to understand when that word "the" is before them words means there's no other way. But as he said, "I am the door," and he said, "Verily, verily," he said, "Truly, truly, I am the door." And I want you to remember there's only one way to heaven, and you can't get to God the Father except you go through the door of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when he gets in there and he gets in that ark, and we realize and understand that sometimes people, we know the politicians and religions of the land tells us there's many roads to heaven and there's many ways to heaven. But this Bible said, and Jesus said, there's only one way, and I am the door. Now we got to realize that, and we got to preach that to them. I don't care what the politicians and religion says. We've got to get the truth out to them. And you see, it's not being sincere in your religion, and you make it. There is only one way, and that way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, we live in a time now, they say, everybody ism and schisms can go in and this and that. But I'm telling you, as you study this Bible, and Jesus said that there is no way to the Father except through me. He said, I am the door. He said, I am the way. And beside me, there is none other. But I want you to understand that. I believe you've got that in your heart. And if you're here tonight lost without God, I want to make it clear to you, there's only one way to heaven. That's through the door of the Lord Jesus. It's not going through the rituals that man has made. It's not coming and being baptized and enjoying a church. You must be born again before you're a candidate for those. We're living to see a time now under the name of Baptist. Have a little weak-kneed confession, repeat this prayer after me, and they take them in the baptistry and all that, and they're dying on the pews and going to hell because they've never been born again. They've never come through that door. And I want you to realize and understand that. But now that gets me down to where I want to go here in Matthew. And we realize this parable is talking about when the Lord Jesus Christ... And I want you to understand, and here's what my thought is. There's four doors that closes on a sinner's life. And any one of those four doors can close, and there's no hope for a sinner in this life or the life to come. And that's my thought today, my burden on my heart today. As I read this and I realize in verse 6 of chapter 25 of Matthew, he said, behold, the bridegroom coming. I'm telling you, the Lord is coming. You better get ready. He's coming. I want you to understand that. Verse 10, he said, the door was shut and five foolish was left on the outside. They had the lamps, but they had no oil in their heart. I wonder how many times that describes church members. I wonder how many's got lamps and no oil in their vessel. And you realize oil represents the Holy Spirit of God. But as I was overlooking this, and I realize I'll get to those four things in a minute, I notice in this the unreadiness of these five foolish virgins. But you know what? They weren't ready for the bridegroom coming. And if I understand this right, in verse number 5, it said they all slumbered and slept. I believe that's the five wise as well as the five foolish. I believe we're living to see the time. You ask the believer, do you believe in the soon coming of the Lord? And they might nod their heads and say yes, but they don't live like He's soon coming. I believe the concern for sinners is not on the believer's heart now. They say one thing in one side of their mouth and do another one. They're all slumbering and sleeping on the fire. I wish you to get back that you and I would get a burden of the soon coming of God. And we realize our friends and our family and the people that we know, if that rapture takes place, they're doomed, they're hell bound. Boy, I remember hearing a message preached by old brother Ed Ballew. I don't know if any of you know him. He preached one of the best messages I ever heard in my life on hell. And boy, he preached it so hard. And boy, he said in that service, there was a young man, got under conviction. And I want your mind to go back. When's the last time you've had a burden for a lost person? I don't care if it's family or friends. Or when did you go to bed weeping and crying and begging God? It might be a family member not even praying for themselves and too sorry and not concerned. But you're praying saying, God, have mercy on them. Give them one more change. They said that young man got stirred up and told Brother Ed after that service, he lived in Georgia, and he said, preacher, pray for me. God's burden for me, for my dad. And he drove all night to get to Georgia, and he drove up about daylight. And when he drove up about daylight, he started hollering when he went towards the house. Dad, Dad, are you there? Are you awake? And his dad was there awake and opened the door, and we're talking about daylight. He started crying. He said, Dad, I was in a meeting last night and the preacher preached on hell and I got a burden for you and I cannot stop till I come to see you. I don't want you to go to hell and God don't want you to go to hell. God loves you. He said, son, I've been awake all night under conviction. He said, boy, I can't sleep. I was afraid I was sliding into hell. And what happened to that boy? I got a burn for his dad. And boy, God worked it out. And his dad, I believe some Holy Ghost conviction on sinners. In that same service, a young lady, I could not wait till the preacher got through preaching. She asked the pastor to go use the phone. And she said, I gotta call my mom. Oh, can you imagine your own mom going to hell? Or your own dad? And said, boy, a little while back there on that phone, nobody knew what was going on. They started hearing some shouting. Glory to God! Hallelujah! And praise God! And everybody said, what's going on? What's going on? Said that woman went back there and said, mom, I love you. And this preacher's preaching on hell. And you're going to hell. And I don't want you to go there. And began to witness to her. And all of a sudden, her mom prayed over the phone, got saved. And the girl started shouting for the glory of God. And I remind you of this. When's the last time that you had a concern? Are you slumbering, sleeping? Are you slumbering, sleeping? There's people comes in your chair. I tell them, well, where I pastor, there's a man been coming a while. He's lost. And boy, I'm telling you, I've been praying that God don't let him go out the doors like they come in. I believe we need to get a burden for lost people. I believe we ought to quit slumbering and sleeping and realizing if we could see them going into hell, we'll do something about it. And I hope God helps us see this. But as you realize and understand this, in verse number 13, it talks about the unexpected happening. He told them, watch therefore. In other words, when in those two words mean stay awake, be alert. And he said, why in verse 13? Are that you think of not, he's coming. And then in verse 10, the ultimatum come, the door was shut. The opportunity of these five foolish did not go in. Why? They were unprepared. Now, you know what? I wonder sometimes if we only knew the percentage of unsaved church members. I wonder if we just knew that. And I'm not trying to create a doubt in your heart, but I wonder if we just realize we're rubbing shoulders with our family and people and friends in the church, and they might not even be saved. It wouldn't be a sad thing to think people go to hell right out of the church pews where you go to church. Boy, that ought to break his heart. But I'm not going to preach on all of that. I want to get down to the four doors, and that's what's my burden in my heart. The four doors that closes on a sinner's life. And if you're here tonight, remember, any one of these doors, if they close on you, then your hope and opportunity is gone. And the first door I want you to think about tonight is death. Now I know there's a religion tells you there's hope after you die. But they're lying to you. They tell you that that's just a money racket. They said you go into purgatory, and if your family pays enough money to the church and they pray enough, they get you out of purgatory before you go into hell. That's a lie. Friend, I want you to know tonight, if the door of death comes your way, I want you to know your destiny is made. If you're lost without God, I want you to know hell will be your home. And when you lift your eyes up, you'll be just like the rich man. You'll be in hell. So you got to realize how quick our life can happen to go away from us. And there is no opportunity. There is no second chance. I think about death a lot of time. It's universal. It's worldwide. You realize it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. I want you to know death is sure. And it can come to the little ones as well as to the big ones. But I got to thinking about death also. Is it universal? But it's unavoidable. The Bible said in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. You have an appointment, friend, and sometimes we can shorten those days by the life that we live. But you ever think about you cannot prevent it. You cannot avoid death. If it's your time to go, I don't care if there's enough doctors in all the world. I cannot save you. If it's your time to go, it's your appointed time, you're going to die. I want you to understand that. So I want you to think about this. It's unavoidable, but you cannot prevent it. But you sure can prepare for it. I mean, I'm prepared for death. I'm saved and serving God. And thank God if death comes my way, I'm all right. But you ever think not only is it universal, but not only is it unavoidable, but it's uncertainty of death. Do you realize this Bible speaks about how close you're to death? He says one heartbeat, one breath, one step. I was thinking about last week, you know, I guess you heard about those four young people over in Pineville. I was going to a parade and had a car wreck and hit a coal truck. And all four of them was killed in that car wreck. I want you to know, if they were not saved, they will never have a chance to be saved. Their destiny is made. And your destiny and my destiny is made when we die. And I want you to understand, if the door of death comes, now listen, young people, it comes to young people as well as to old. They don't think they're going to die. They're young and healthy, and they ain't got all these disease and heart problems and this and that. They think they've got plenty of time. But I want you to know, there's a lot of little graves in the graveyard as well as big. Then I want you to know, if death comes your way, you'll have no second chance, no opportunity. Your destiny is made. But the second door I want you to think about with me tonight is the door of crossing God's deadline. In Genesis chapter number 6, verse 3, he said, "My spirit will not always strive with man." I believe there's a possibility, sinner friend, that you reject God for the last time. I mean, you think you've got plenty of time and you think you can get right anytime you want to, but I beg to pardon with you, and I want to show you that if you reject God, it's dangerous. To reject Him, you might not never have another change. I was thinking about what God tells us here. He said, "My spirit always strive with you," and time's running out on some people, you know, and I believe it run out on the people of Noah. Do you realize as he preached all those years, time was taken away and time was running out, and they went on as usual, as the Bible said, until it was too late. The flood came and they died. Have you ever thought about they crossed God's deadline? Let me give you this, and you think about it, sinner friend. And there has to be the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God if you'll ever get saved. I want you to know, you can't decide, "I'm just going to get saved tonight." I believe it must be the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God. In John chapter number 6 and verse 44, Jesus makes this statement, and I want you to realize and understand, "No man can come to me," and watch that word, "except my Father which is in heaven draw them." Now you've got to realize, sinner friend, God the Father there, Jesus said, "You'll not get to the Father and you'll not get to me except my Father which is in heaven draws you." And a lot of times sinner says, "Well, preacher, what is drawing?" I'll tell you what you can tell what's drawing. Have you seen your condition? Have you seen your lost going to hell? Who showed you that? The Holy Spirit of God. Has the Holy Spirit convicted you of sin and godly sorrow work in your heart because you find out, you finally see that you've sinned against a holy and a righteous God? And boy, there's the convictions on you so strong, you begin to confess and you begin to repent, and then you want to call on God, and God's got to help you to call on Him. And all this is a drawing of God. But let me give you another good place that you look, and if you don't get right with God, in Proverbs chapter number 1 verse 23 down to verse 28, he says, "God called a sinner and a sinner refused." It said the calamities come upon the sinner, and the sinner called on God, and God refused. Now, friend, I'm trying to tell you, crossing God's deadline, it's dangerous. If God deals with your heart, if God's drawing you tonight and you don't refuse and go out those doors like you come in, you might not never have another change. God might close that door. I was going to church years ago over Stokely's Chapel, and there was an old man there in Bill Doverholtz, and he come to church more regular than the church member. In revivals, and people went back to him and on for years. And he told our pastor, he said, "You don't have to come back to me." He said, if God will ever give me a chance, if He'll deal with my heart again," he said, "you won't have to come back here. I'll run to that altar." Because he said, "I rejected God and I've never felt the tug of God on my life." And I'm talking about, he's been in some good meetings and good revivals and good preaching. And it went for years. And I'll never forget one Sunday morning, and it was on Easter Sunday morning. Boy, we was having a time. And I looked up, I heard somebody running, and I looked up, and he
He's a big, tall, skinny guy in bilge overalls and white shirt. He come done running down that aisle, buddy, and he fell in that order. And God showed mercy, and he got saved by God's marvelous grace. Took many a years before God, and that's what some of you talk about tonight, the mercy and long-suffering of God. And boy, it was about 2 months after he got saved, he passed away. But oh, what a merciful and loving God that we have. But have you ever thought about that? Now the door of crossing God's deadline, the door of death. But there is another door. I want you to see the third door. The door of a sound mind. Now, we're living the time to see so many things happen. People lose their mind because of nervous breakdown, their comprehension. They don't even know where they're at. They don't even know what they're doing. And I want you to know, friend, if you've had a sound mind, you know right from wrong, you know what I'm preaching to you is the truth. And if something happened to you, you lose your mind, all hope is gone. While you got a sound mind, I beg you to come and get right with God. Let me give you a little example that happened in my father's day. It was the moonshine. If you would drink bad moonshine, you either go blind or you can lose your mind. And you know, in my days, the 60s, there was the drug LSD. And sometimes young people took one pill and they lost their mind forever. Today, that the day that you and I live in is the meth. They tell me that's the most addictive drug there are, and said you can get a hold of some bad of that meth and lose your mind forever. Now, friend, I'm telling you, just one pill away. It's just one comprehension of way that you lose your mind. And what I'm trying to get you to see is how close that door can close on you. You'll go out and party and you'll go out and think nothing. I thought about the moonshiners and I thought about the alcohol. Do you realize sometimes people ain't drinking moonshine, but they're drinking the slop of the alcohol, and they never recognize that'd be their last time, and they have a car wreck and all of a sudden it damaged their brains and they never have comprehension anymore. That sound mind is gone. Well, let me throw something else out to you. The good moral people that gets a little old, and you know, all their life they live better than Christians, if you can say it. They pay their bills, raise their children, treat their neighbor right, but all of a sudden Alzheimer's hits them. All of a sudden, this Alzheimer, they put off getting saved with God, and all of a sudden now Alzheimer's hits them, and the sound mind is gone. If they haven't been saved before that hits them, they don't have no opportunity after that. Ain't that a shame? A good moral person don't have a sound mind and goes into hell. I've been in the nursing homes, and I've seen elderly women have little toy dolls, baby dolls, and rocking them, and think it's their own children. And sometimes they don't even know their own name and don't even know their own children. Oh, listen to me. If they hadn't got saved when their mind was sound, it's too late then. You got to realize these things happen. Do you realize sometimes, I was telling you about a car wreck, do you realize sometimes people go in a coma and never come out of it? I remember Brother Stennett Blue when he passed through in Jacksburg, Tennessee. There was a 16-year-old boy, had a car wreck and beat up pretty bad, broken up. And Brother Stennett went to visit him. This is some 30 years ago, I guess. And he begged him to get right with God. And he said, "No, preacher." He said, "I'll wait till I get out. I'm going to come to your church and I'm going to get right with God." And Brother Stennett said, "You might not get out." He said, "You better do it tonight if God's tugging at your heart." "No, preacher, I'm going to do it. Well, I don't want to have this hospital religion like jailbird religion. I'm going to wait till I get out." Well, that was on one night. The next day, he turned to worse. He went into a coma, 16 years old, and he never come out of it. A few days down the road, the parents said, "Flip the switch." You know, the life support. And the boy never had another chance. The boy lost his opportunity. He thought he had plenty of time. He thought he was going to, and I believe he had good intentions. I believe he was going to get right with God when he got out. But he waited one day too late. Oh, how God's trying to tell us what happens. Now that's three doors. Let me give you that fourth door and close tonight. And I believe this is the door of grace closing. And this could happen quicker than death. I'm talking about the rapture of the church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 13, 18, you'll find it's talk about it in many places of scriptures. You're talking about the coming of the Lord. I was remembering, I tried to give this illustration when I'm preaching to sinners, how quick the Lord come. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, He said, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Now I use this illustration, I know it's quicker than this, but just blink your eyes. Just blink your eyes, that's how quick the Lord could come. Now I'm talking about the day of grace, your opportunity of getting saved. I do not believe that people have the right in this dispensation of grace and reject the love of God when great tribulation sets in. It's too late. The rapture takes place and we're gone. But I want you to go back with me right quick, and I'm going to hurry. In Matthew chapter number 24, and you know, and I know Matthew 24 deals with a tribulation time. I know that, and great tribulation, what's happened. But what got to my mind that the disciples said, tell us the sign, the end of the time when you're coming. Tell us. And I want you to realize and understand in verse number 6, he talks about wars and rumors of war. In verse 7, he talks about nation against nation. But in verse 8, he said, this is the beginning of sorrow. Do you realize, we realize there's four or five things happening in America all at one time now. And I want you to the beginning of sorrow. God's trying to get America's attention. There's famines, there's fires, there's floods, and there's earthquakes and pestilence. All of these things is going on all over America at one time. In one state it's here, in one state it's there. I wonder if God's not getting the last call that the coming of the Lord is so nigh. I know these things are going to happen in great tribulation. If they're going to happen after we're gone, how close is it of the coming of the Lord? But I got to thinking about this, and I want you to look at verse 37 down to verse 39. And here's the sign that He gave them. He said, as the days of Noah, so shall it be coming of the Lord. Now in verse 37, He mentions three things that happened in Noah's day. He said they was eating, drinking, and married, and given in marriage. If that's not happened today, I do not know what's happened. I mean, there's eating places all over the world and all over even the state of Tennessee. People are eating themselves to death. Drinking, you cannot. I go to a grocery store or a little filling station, get guys. Everybody selling alcohol. Eat. Now, what did he say? In the last days, it'll be as the days of Noah. And he said, they're eating and drinking. But I believe the third one was the really one that will show us. He said, marry and given in marriage. He's talking about divorce in the world. Do you know the divorce in the world today, and especially in America? One out of every two marriages ends up in a divorce. 50% of marriage fails when they get married. Now, if God is not trying to show us the Lord is coming, the dispensation of grace is about to end. He said married and given in marriage. If one out of every two marriages ends up in a divorce, that's 50%. And God said to the disciples, as the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Lord. I wonder if we really get a hold of that fact and realize what God is trying to tell us. Now, in verse 39, they waited too late. They went on as usual. They went on just like it ain't going to happen. You tell them about the coming of the Lord, they go on as usual. It said those people didn't know it was too late until the flood come. Can I say something to you right here? And I want you to think about this. God closed that ark in Noah's day. And if God closed it, no man can open it up. Can you imagine Noah had family and friends on the outside of that ark? And I want you to know when the waters come down and the waters come up, and I want you to know the only thing was floating on this earth was the ark. Can you imagine if some of Noah's family members got on that ark and beat on that ark and said, Noah, we're sorry, we believe, Noah. Let us in. Don't you believe Noah wouldn't have opened that door if he could? Wouldn't you? If you had a mom and a dad or brother and sister out there going to drown, and if you had means to save them, wouldn't you? But God closed that door. But I want you to know they prayed, and they prayed too late. You realize one of these times that these doors close on you and you'll pray too late. I want to tell you, it's too late to pray in hell. You know the rich man tried that. I mean, he prayed too late. He got religious. But God don't hear sinners' prayers in hell. God has turned His back on sinners. And I want you to know you can pray all you want in hell, but God will never hear your prayer. Sinner friends, you better pray now while He's listening. Now let me go to this and I'll close in Revelation chapter number 3, verse 8 and verse 20. He tells us in verse number 3, He said, now note it, there's an open door. This is an invitation for them to come in. But in verse number 20, He said, I stand at the door and knock. If you'd open up, I'll come in and sup with you. Do you realize what I'm trying to tell you today? The door of dispensation of grace is still here. The door is open, but it might not be tomorrow. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, will you be left behind like the five foolish virgins? Will you be left behind like the people in Noah's day? And boy, the flood come and it was too late for them. I wonder, sinner friend, if you ever realize time is running out on me. And these doors are facing me. Opportunities pass away so quickly here. Please don't go on as usual. Please don't say, I've got another Jubilee to go to. Or I've got another Sunday service to go to. You've got to realize this door's closing on you. And they went on as usual until it was too late. I believe with all my heart there's people in hell that had good intentions to get right with God. And I believe they're in hell and thought they had plenty of time to get right with God. But they waited one day too late. I wonder if you understand this and realize the only way to prepare for death and the rapture of the church is being saved by God's marvelous grace and serving the Lord. Now I'm going to close with that tonight. This is what God's laid on my heart. I beg if you're here tonight lost without God, don't let these doors, any one of those four doors I mentioned to you, means you're gone, you're doomed, you're down for hell forever and never can be saved. But while He's standing at the door and while He's calling you and giving you an invitation to come, I beg you to come and I pray that you'll come tonight. Don't put it off tomorrow, another time, because one day might be too late. And I hope, Christians, that you get a burden. Boy, God, some way is manifest to you. Time's running out on your loved ones. If that son's going to get saved, or that daughter, that mom and dad, that brother or sister, that aunt or uncle, those people you work with, you better have an urgency in your heart. They might not see it. You better have an urgency, a burden in your heart. Don't slumber and sleep. They're dying lost without God. And we can't help them if any one of these four doors closes on them. Would you bow your heads with me, please, tonight? I'm going to let Brother Barry come in just a moment. I'm going to pray. But I want you to mind God and ask God to help you to mind God and do what needs to be done. I hope you've seen the seriousness of this tonight. Lord Jesus, as we bow our heads and give You thanks for the Word of God, thank You for this service. Lord, You know why You've laid this on my heart. I pray that it's a challenge to the saints to get a great burden, for the time's running out. And I pray that the sinners are here to realize, boy, the doors are closing on them quicker than they can think. And I pray this will be the night they'll come and get right with Thee. Please speak in this service. Speak to all of our hearts that we'll realize and understand how soon the coming of the Lord is. Oh God, do what needs to be done. And we'll thank You and praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.